all the songs you love. Right here on Nova 103.5. Your life, your music. Namibia's business leader on Nova 103.5.
The lead story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future. We're back with part two of our interview with Namibia's Green Hydrogen Commissioner, James Nupe. If you missed part one, visit nova.com.na to listen to the podcast. We're speaking about above pay grades, and we're talking a lot of technical things here and referring to studies, but I'd say perhaps the man or woman on the street, you know, they want to know how this affects me. And a lot of times that boils down to jobs. We've obviously got a massive unemployment problem. You know, how do all of these projects lead into job creation? When do we start seeing job creation? What is the potential there for, you know, speaking directly to the man and woman on the street?
Yeah, I think super, super cool question. There's a skills tree, a functional skill set or roles that Hyphen have given us that I'd actually like to share with you guys. Mm-hmm. And you put that on your link to the interview right? And so what it'll show you is, across Hyphen, whom are they envisioning to hire? They'll have departments, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, rotating equipment engineering, so think wind turbines, chemical process engineering, operators logistics, systems engineering, safety, health, and environment, and then support services and back office. Yeah. And then for each of these departments, they actually have university qualifications needed, vocational qualification, and low-skilled workforce, right? And for us as government, why I want you to have this, put this on your website, is folks need to start preparing themselves for these jobs. And these jobs are not Hyphen jobs only. You know, you will need this for many, many different green hydrogen projects in the world, in Namibia. So if I have a child today and he's sort of like, hey, what should I study? These are some options, right? Mm. Hey, what would I be able to do with this? Well, that and that industry. So sometimes just disseminating information is the first step. So this is what one of the things I'll give you. Second thing, look, Hyphen is sort of saying, you know, 15,000 jobs when we get into construction, right? And we're looking to get into construction in 2025. But one of the things I do want to show you, and actually I'll share these photos with you as well, put them up on the website. You know, when I visited the Omaruru Omburu Power Station, right? 20 megawatts, I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. But I start meeting the guys who are building it, right? So this is David. He has on his helmet, like, breadwinner, you know, like, this is real, right? Yeah. And then you sort of see him teaching me, like, how he's, like, screwing the panels onto the racks. And these are all his colleagues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these are all the other guys that he's working with to build a solar farm. These are real jobs today. So, like, green hydrogen sounds fancy, but a solar plant like this, there's another one that's going to be built in Swakopmund called Kind Power by the same company, Hopsol, for example. You know, Cleanergy, together with ONL, has a company that builds solar plants as well. They want to build a gigawatt solar. Those are not tomorrow's jobs. Those are not 2025 jobs. Those are jobs today. And, you know, folks like, ONL Next Century, those guys are building assets today in South Africa, here, and in Europe. So if you're a Namibian with these skill sets, absolutely. One of the things those companies will have to do is to start training and increasing their capacity in view of what's coming. So if I'm us today, I'm going to those guys and I'm like, hey, I have a scholarship application, or I have an acceptance letter and I'm looking for a scholarship from ONL Next Century. And if you send me to school for the next 2 or 3 years, by the time this project is alive, that's one more member of your workforce. You get, right? And I think that's sort of where we need to now start getting into. If you're a Namibian, you're unemployed, you're like, what's, because it's not about knowing the job, it's about getting the skills for you to be relevant. So and then the key thing for me is, don't wait for 2025. I've shown you here some sort of solo jobs, but construction, right? They're going to need to construct roads, they're going to need to construct houses. If you're an engineer, I mean, oh my gosh. So the list goes on and on. And what we are doing, actually on the website, the gh2namibia.com website, we will be launching a refreshed one. We actually have a tab called Green Jobs.
Okay.
And we're going to start posting there, and not just for Hyphen, but any job that we are coming across in this sector, we're going to start posting there. We just did the scholarship drive, 1,150 applications, right? Like, way more than we can take. We're going to announce the results of that in September.
Okay.
Towards the end of September. Now, here's the thing for me. If you're a Namibian company that can partake in this industry, you need to start putting money into that scholarship fund, right? Because at the moment, it's the Germans have given us 5 million euros. So it's 85 million bucks of their money that we're now putting in a pot and skilling Namibians. Mm-hmm. But the guys who are really going to make money from the jobs are the Namibia Constructions ETC. So one of the things I'll be trying to do is to actually create a national scholarship fund, use that money as a seed, and then go to Namibian companies and say, put 500,000, put $1 million, whatever. You know, you guys can even run the program yourselves. But the bigger that grows and the more people we prepare, the larger the local content that we can own off these of these projects. And I think once we start fighting for each other like that, you know, I think it's a quiet winning formula, yeah?
We're talking about skills and the skills trees. Some of those skills, like we say, are here. We do have engineers. We do have people who are skilled in construction. But a lot of these sort of jobs of the future skills don't currently exist in Namibia. Or if they do, they're very few and far between.
Correct.
You mentioned Germany and the scholarship fund. Who have been our biggest supporters when it comes to technology and expertise?
And when you say our biggest supporters, are you sort of meaning, you know, who is Germany? Obviously has been sort of the country that has come up with the cash, and not just the cash, but also the programs, right? So some of the programs being designed are being designed with German universities, partnering up with Namibian universities, whether it's NAST or UNAM. But I can sort of see the US beginning to come up as well. We're beginning to talk to them a lot more. I would love to see Asia. Right. Japan, we're beginning to talk to a lot as well. Even the Chinese actually have some really interesting expertise in building electrolyzers. You'd be amazed as well. So I'd love for Namibia to become a bit more global. The EU, the Dutch, the Belgians, they're all sort of, you know, we can collaborate with Delft University from the Netherlands. They actually are looking to build a pilot project here as well. So think global. What I would say if I was Namibians is, do your research, go on the internet and see who is making the best electrolyzer at the moment, who is making the best either solar panels, who has the most patents for a lot of the equipment, right? When I started researching that, a lot of the patents actually reside in Europe and Japan. And then you sort of ask yourself, well, what can we do and learn with those guys? And in Namibia at the moment, we're trying to actually sign an MOU between JOGMEC, which is like the Japanese oil petroleum mining and energy company. It's like a big state-owned, like think Namcor times 100, right? But you know, we want to sign an MOU with them to start collaborating on exploring synthetic fuels and rare earth metals as well.
Okay.
Because, you know, the rare earths or the critical raw minerals are a key part of the energy transition. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're thinking. But for now, you can't deny the Germans have really come through in a big way, and there's still a few programs we want to run with them.
Okay. Lastly, you mentioned sort of your studies and your reading, you know, speaking of learning, you come from more of an investment background. How much have you had to learn about green hydrogen and perhaps what's one of the most interesting facts that you've picked up along the way?
So folks who know what background I've come from would not be that surprised. Because, look, obviously the whole accounting thing, you know, I started off as an auditor at PwC. That's an interesting profession that forces you to learn about different industries anyway. You're auditing a trucking company, you're auditing a mine, you're auditing an IT company. And so in order to fully understand that company and make sure you're representing its activities on financial statements, you have to read a lot about, you know, I don't know, IT equipment if you're talking to Business Connection, for example. And then after that, the next company I worked for and the next qualification I pursued was a chartered financial analyst and working for Alan Gray as an investment analyst. And in that company, you have to analyze those businesses in even more depth, right? And from all sorts of angles and the macroeconomic environment within which they operate, right? So at Alan Gray, we would spend easily 2-3 months to write one policy group report that was then debated with 21 people who were smarter than you, yeah? And you had to tell these people why Sasol was a good investment or why, you know, Dangote Sugar was a good investment or why Econet Wireless was a bad investment or why you would short the Namibian, you know, I don't know, 10-year bond. And so because of that background, I literally would have to know, and Alan Gray, we never had sector specialists. So I had to know from telecoms to, you know, Sasol, that was a big energy company, to Bidvest, which was a big conglomerate, to Namibia Breweries, you know. So because I analyzed all of those companies, and not just from understanding their business model, you then actually had to build a financial model that learns from the past 10 or 15 years and then actually forecasts 3 or 4 or 5 years ahead in terms of how this company could grow, and then value it by discounting those cash flows, put a price in it, and then, because of that, by the time I was studying green hydrogen, I had studied, I don't know, 20 other different companies in 20 different sectors. And then the one thing that people don't appreciate is, you know, so people said, but you're not like a traditional economist. As an investment analyst, you anyways had to study a whole bunch of ecos. But we had to model these companies' operating environments within a Naira environment, within a Kenya shilling environment, within a multi country. Or, you know, so if you're looking at MTN, you wouldn't just model the rand.
Yeah.
You had to think of the Naira. And so once you started doing that, you had to understand the economy, I think, backwards and forwards as well. So all of that helped me a lot. And then your last question, the most interesting fact I've learned about green hydrogen is possibly the fact that it's not about green hydrogen. You know, because it's not even the product we're going to sell. The product we're going to sell is ammonia to start off with, but it's molecules and electrons. And once I started seeing that, you know, it's molecules and electrons and the efficiency factors of converting the electricity into the molecules, and then realizing that that is actually not the most efficient thing to do. And that's what people always used to talk about. But converting this electron into a molecule, you lose like 30-40% of the energy. But it is the best alternative we have to decarbonizing some sectors. And so it's being done anyway. I think that was because in the beginning, everyone was like, oh, this thing's not going to last. Whereas you can't put a battery large enough on a ship. It would take up all of the space of the cargo. And when I made peace with that, and then I realized that there were people who were willing to pay a price for that, and they were being helped by, oh my God, sorry I say that on radio, but you know, the one thing that came out, was it last week? The Inflation Reduction Act. Viewers, go read up on that. The United States is willing to give a tax credit of up to $3 a kilogram. Now, remember, the long-term ambition for a lot of folks is to produce hydrogen at $2 a kilogram and below, right? Today, they're saying green hydrogen can be expensive at $6 to $8 a kilogram. Some places you can get a $5. The U.S. is giving you a tax credit on up to $3 a kilogram, potentially for the first 10 years. That's huge. And it's like a couple of $100 billion, right, that they're willing to put in there. And once you start putting those sort of tax credits and mechanisms into the models, you know, you're getting guys who are willing to deploy capital, I think, today. I think that's the other big interesting thing that I'm learning, is the German government, the U.S. government is willing to put a lot of taxpayer money into these models because it is the best way to decarbonize their economies. And why are they doing that? Because young people are voting them out of power. Maybe that's the other interesting thing I've learned, is in Europe specifically, Greta Thunberg and her buddies have changed the German government. It's now being led by the Greens because of the young vote. And as a result, you know, you can see what's happening in now. Crazy, huh? From Greta Thunberg to Hage Geingob. But anyway.
Well, thank you so much. There's so much more to talk about, and I'm sure we will talk to you again in the future, but yep. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David, for having me, and looking forward to the next one. See you soon.
The Lead Story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future.
If you missed the Business Report live, but don't want to miss out on some of the most up-to-date economic, financial, business news, and so much more, you can catch up wherever it suits you by visiting the podcast page on nova.com.na.